The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Dublin City Council is rolling out new tweaks to the capital's traffic light system, reminding drivers when to give cyclists priority. It's a plan which DCC hopes will result in a safer, more pleasant experience for road users. I'm joined now by Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor and columnist with the Sunday Independent. Morning, Ger.
Good morning, Anton.
Ger, this is going to consist of what?
So basically, I mean, this is just sort of reinforcing what's already the priority. So cyclists have priority over turning vehicles when traveling straight through any junction. So now you'll have lights that will actually flash to allow the cyclist to go. So there's quite a good graphic that Dublin City Council have tweeted. Now, obviously, it's not infrastructure that's actually in Ireland, which makes you wonder, but it's just explaining how this will actually work in operation. But as I said, this priority is there anyway. So if you look, if you follow the graphic on Twitter, it makes it very clear, but basically it's when you come up to a junction as a car, if you're turning left and there's a cyclist who's going straight, you have to stop, you have to allow them to go, and then you turn left.
Now, one of the issues that has come with e-bikes is that bicycles now travel on average a lot faster than they once did. Is there a risk that motorists won't spot the fact that there's a bike coming up and turn left into their path?
There always is, I suppose. But the thing about it is, it's just to be really vigilant when you're turning left, because the thing about it is those junctions are probably the most dangerous for cyclists. It's those left turning junctions that really prove fatal for cyclists. So the onus is on the motorists, given, you know, the size and of their vehicle and the risk that they carry, to be extra vigilant. And as you say, with e-bikes, they are that slightly bit faster. It's, as I said, it's reinforcing what's already there. And I suppose with the arrows, it'll remind motorists of that idea.
There's a similar system already in place at a number of junctions. There's one down by the customs house just at Butt Bridge there, where the light turns green for cyclists and gives them a second or two to get effectively into the junction before the light then goes green for cars. And every time I see people making that turn, one out of about every 10 cars doesn't recognise the fact that the cyclists have the right of way and drives through them. Is this going to take a lot of re-education for motorists?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it comes down to, Anton, is education. I noticed if you look at some of the comments on the Twitter post again, motorists seem to think this is a new thing and that it's been imposed on them. You think they've added more bus gates in Dublin? There's some of the reaction. So yeah, it does come down to reinforcing that idea of priority on the road. And it's interesting because in the UK, what they brought in 2 years ago is what they call the hierarchy of road users. And it's really just to reinforce to drivers and to anybody using the road that, you know, the bigger you are, the more risk you carry, the more responsibility you carry. And I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to do something similar in Ireland, because I'm not sure that motorists really are aware of who has priority and that their responsibilities.
And that's another thing that is taught often in the driver's test, where if you make a turn around a corner to find a pedestrian already crossing the road, they have right of way and you have to allow them to cross. Again, you almost never see that in application. If there's a pedestrian out of the way, most drivers sort of act as if it is their job to leg it back to the path so that the car can go through.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you see even just at pedestrian crossings, when pedestrians actually get onto the crossing, they're still taking their life into their hands, that motorists will actually stop and give them right away. So a big re-education campaign is required there, definitely, Anton.
So in terms of ubiquity, how many different junctions or which junctions are going to have this new flashing amber system?
Okay, that's not clear. And I actually checked on the website and isn't either. But basically what they're saying is that they're rolling out tweaks to the capital's traffic lights. So I would have assumed, as you know, the majority of them are going to have this. How long that will take, I don't know, or whether it's already in place and ready to go ahead. But definitely it looks like it's widespread throughout the capital.
And the objective, Ger, is what? To convince, this is part of the overall aim to get more people willing to cycle and feel safe cycling.
Yeah, so what they're saying is it'll make it a safer, more pleasant experience for all road users. But essentially, it is just reminding drivers of that priority that cyclists have at junctions. And as I said, main reason being left turns are particularly risky for cyclists. So it's just to remind motorists, this is what your role at these junctions is.
And obviously, I'm sure there's details up on the DCC website if people want to find out more. While I have you, Ger, a story this morning that I wanted to get your view on. A survey showing that 30% of people don't bother to lock their cars. That's one in three. This is according to Gallagher Insurance, who did the survey. One in three people just close the doors and wander away from the car.
I was totally shocked by this. Now, maybe because it does say as well that women are more consistent in their car locking habits. But you know the way we always hear about, you know, buying a car and it's one of the biggest purchases you can make in your life. You just imagine people would look after it. So I find it astounding that as many as one in three don't just, you know, I mean, like how many people leave their houses open?
Is it to do with the quality of the car? Because speaking as somebody who has never had a decent car in his life, there's less of an incentive to lock it if you know that nobody wants to steal it.
Yeah, I mean, I've no doubt. And I know when you look at the stats, I think the average age of an Irish car is, I think, close to 9 years. So maybe that's the case. But at the same time, there's kind of two kind of car thieves out there. And we know like theft is on the increase. I think it's up 18% this year. Like there's the opportunist and there's the professional. So the professional targets that, you know, expensive car, but the opportunist targets anything that's, you know, available. So therefore, even the older car comes into that bracket. I don't know, as somebody who had a car stolen, now it's many years ago, it's ingrained in me to always lock my car and ensure I park it safely and everything. So maybe that makes me a bit more cautious than your average motorist.
What's the implications for insurance? Because as I understand it, if it is discovered, although how it would be discovered, but if it is discovered that you hadn't locked your car when the car is stolen, that negates your insurance.
Well, I presume if there's no forced entry, Anton, like, I mean, if it's one of those professional, you know, one of those keyless car entry things, I mean, you're not going to have entry, so you're not going to have forced entry. But if it's opportunism and somebody just takes it, I presume they can track it in that way. But yeah, I mean, this survey was done by Gallagher Insurance, and they do say that an insurance company can refuse to pay out if you have left your car unlocked. And I think it comes under, you know, that idea of contributory negligence, like if there was a red red weather warning and you decided to go off to the pier and drive, you know, it's the same sort of thing. If you have contributed in some way to the increasing your risk, then insurance companies are within their rights to turn around and go, do you know what, we're not going to pay out. So it could be quite expensive.
Is there much of an urban-rural divide in this? Because I assume there will be people who may live in country areas where their house is a mile away from the road and they're in the habit of not locking the car because it is so unlikely that somebody is going to come and steal it, versus people in the centre of Dublin city where you couldn't afford to leave it open on the street.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing about drivers in urban areas, they're twice as likely to use a device to actually prevent their cars being stolen. So not only will they lock it, but they'll also have security measures in place, like a steering wheel lock or something like that. So they're a lot more conscious of the risk of being stolen, obviously.
How common are trackers now? Because it's relatively cheap to get something like a version of an Apple AirTag and hide it somewhere in the car. Do people do that often?
Yeah, they do. And a lot of insurance companies, depending on the value of the car, will insist on a tracker. Like they just won't give you insurance without them. And it used to be like about 60,000. Now cars have become so expensive. God knows what. I mean, it might even be lower that threshold. But yeah, they are. Insurance companies will specify a lot of times that you have to have a tracker on it.
Ger, thank you very much. That is Geraldine Herbert, who is motoring editor and columnist with the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.